Okay, this is May 16th, and the topic tonight is witness.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all at once is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. And I hope that everyone is still working on the idea that you are a god or a goddess. Please, you have to keep doing that because the world is not going to do it for you. No one else is going to do it for you. You have to keep telling yourself that you are one with this thing that we call God, or you're one with the universe. So please, keep that going in your consciousness and your thoughts. All day long, say it to yourself until it becomes a part of you. That's the only way you're going to do things. To make something new, you have to just keep repeating it and repeating it, because the mind does not like the first suggestion you make. You know, it won't. You have to. The same way, I don't know if you, when you were in school, they tell you that for somebody to understand something, you must tell them five times. You must repeat it five times. The first time I don't hear it at all. And that's, you know, the way our mind works. Okay, here's some cards, kids. A man said to Buddha, "I want happiness." Buddha said, "First, remove the I. That's ego. Then remove want. That's desire. See now? You are left with only happiness." You have to remove things, and then you're left with the happiness, you're saying. So you remove the I always. That's your ego. I want this, I want that, I need, you know, whatever your ego's doing.
Desire.
Well, you don't want me to read it again? No. And I found this one today. My gesture. What I hold in my heart creates the emotional space I live in and share with others. Isn't that wonderful? Because we know so many people on the outside may look wonderful, but inside they're very bitter. And I'm with a client right now, and I just discovered last week, he's absolutely what I would call sour on the inside. Mm. He's so sour because he thinks other people got better than he, and this and that. Now, I'm going to tell you first, I'll explain this to you. This young man's mother died and left him $600,000. And he's not happy. Is there something wrong with him? He's sour on the inside. He's bitter. He wants something. He wants everyone to look up to him and this and their thing. It's not going to happen. You have to do that for yourself. Don't become bitter. I made my mind up years ago that I would never turn in to a bitter old person. There are too many bitter old people out there. We don't need any more bitterness in the world. And as we get older, we should become sweeter. Look at Rose. I think she's a sweet person. You probably always were, but... Pardon?
I tried.
You try. That's all we can do, is try. I'm saying I'm not going to do that the way other people do. I'm going to be bigger and better than most people. So those are some of the things, and we say become a witness to your thinking. You have to become a witness to what's going on in your mind, in your thinking. This young man that I am working with right now never hears what he's saying. He never hears what he's saying. He just talks, you see. But you have to become a witness to your talking. You have to see what you're doing. You know, a lot of people, and you hear this all the time, "Oh, I didn't mean to say that." Then why the hell did you say it? Why did you say it? We have to become a witness or become aware. And I think I've told you this once before, the idea of becoming aware. Everyone wants to become aware. Becoming aware only means notice what's going on around you. Just notice what's going on around you. And then if you like it, keep it. If you don't, change it by changing your thinking, by changing your mind. So you must become a witness to what's going on in your thinking, in your mind itself. We still have a hard time believing that we are not our minds. We still fall for that damn trap every time and think, oh, well, my mind told me that. It must be true. Or my mind. No, it's not true. You must look at that and say, please, mind, this is not where I want to be. This is not where I want to go. And then you have to stop it. And I told this many times, and I think it's one of the best things that Ernest Holmes ever said. And that is, learn to think the thought that you want to think. And learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. You see, we sit around thinking feelings just drop in and this happens and that happens and we're waiting. You can't. You're the one that's causing it. You are always going to be the cause under your own experience. You're the one that's causing everything in your life. Good, bad, or indifferent, you are doing it. No one else is doing it for you. And that's what one of the problems with the world is. People think that something else is causing them to be poor or to be unhappy or to be unhealthy or whatever. No, it's always you doing it. It is always you doing it. And we take that responsibility without any blame, shame, or guilt whatsoever. But we have to keep saying to ourselves, I am not my mind. My mind is mine to use. It is a tool. It is an instrument. And we have allowed that tool, that instrument, to take over so that we think that we are our mind and we're not our mind. The mind will just keep going. It'll just keep, that's all it does. It just keeps going in the hole. You have to bring it in. You have to tame it. I mentioned the other week the Ken Keyes book, Handbook to Higher Consciousness, I believe, was the name of that book. It's been out 40 years at least. Why was I there? It'll come back to me. Well, anyway, it'll come back to my mind. You have to be able to see what is going on in your life and say, I have control over this. I have control over this. So many people think that something else is controlling what's going on. No, you're doing the controlling. You must always remember that. If you think it's something else, you've given your power away. You've given that whole thing up. Now, my thought has come back. I knew it would. In the Handbook to Higher Consciousness by Ken Keyes, he said, you must remember that your mind, if you don't take care of it, it's like a plantation. The slaves will come and burn it down. If you do not control your thinking, it will burn you up. It will take you. You have to say, that's a silly thought, or that's this, that, the other, and get rid of it. Get rid of it. And learn to think the thought that you want to think. The hardest thing to remember, and one of the hardest things to do, because we still are not convinced that we have that power. We are not convinced that we have the power to think what we want to think. We allow the world to drop in on us and tell us, do this, that, and the other thing. And especially if you listen to all the news and stuff, you're a goner. That will poison your mind something fierce. And it will give you a distorted reality of what's going on. You know. But if you watch all that stuff, everyone looks like a criminal, don't they? I mean, they just keep telling you that. And people are thrilled, I guess, to watch that. Look how many law and orders there are on television. Horrible. Horrible. But we do it. We do it. So, become a witness to your thinking. And learn to think the thought that you want to think. Wouldn't it be nice to get up and think the right thought every morning? But you program yourself for that the night before. And then in the morning, you wake up and program yourself again for that. I told you years ago, my mind, and this is my mind, used to say to me when the alarm went off, Dallas, if you don't get up, you're never going to amount to a hill of beans. You'll never do this, that, the other thing. And then the mind goes away. And you lay there in bed and saying, well, must be true because my mind said so. To your mind. So now when the alarm goes off, and I'm usually up before the alarm goes off, my mind immediately says to me, Dallas, you're going to have a wonderful day. You are going to have a wonderful day. I program myself for a wonderful day. And then I have a wonderful day. But we have to do that. And most people don't know that that's a possibility. You can do that. You can actually do that. So now I said earlier, you have to keep repeating things until your mind accepts them, until you make it a part of you. And that's why we do, affirmations. I have done that many affirmations, and I still do affirmations all day long. I do affirmations for anything that's bothering me. I change it, you see. My favorite affirmation is always, I can do all things through God which strengthens me. Then I just go out and do it. And I don't worry and fret like other people. We can learn to do that. It's done with your mind, people. As I said before, the only thing I'm teaching here is mind. I'm teaching about your mind, my mind, and of course, the mind of God. And how we can learn to use our mind correctly. It's the most powerful thing we've ever had, is the mind. Oh my goodness. Look who's here. Look, turn around.
Oh my gosh.
You look great.
Thank you.
You've lost how much weight? 69 pounds? Look at that, people. Well, you look great. Yeah. All right, we're back to mind. So you have to pay attention to what your mind is doing to you. And we like to play around with it sometimes. And we think it's fun to do. I don't play around with my mind anymore. And I'm not fun. I don't let it be funny anymore. You know, when I was younger, yesterday, it was very exciting and fun to be critical.
Mm-hmm.
It was exciting and fun to be critical. No, there's no joy in that anymore. There's no joy in being critical. I don't want to be critical. I want to be filled with joy and happiness. And that's what we're here on this planet for. We're not here for all this other stuff that they tell you. whatever people are telling you out there, I don't know. But you're here to be, to have a fulfilling life. And you're here to learn to totally love yourself and to see what a magnificent person you are. And you are a magnificent person. Tony, when you were losing your weight, did you look in the mirror and say how wonderful you are? Because you've changed. Your physical body is completely different. So, good for you, and congratulations on anything else you want. It's wonderful. And you probably used your mind to accomplish that. Pardon? No?
Well, yeah.
Yes. Well, you can't get away without using your mind, people. We'd like to think that we can do that, but we can't. Our mind is the most precious thing that we have, and it can do the most marvelous things for us, and we must realize that. We must realize that. And we must say to yourself, I know Casey does this, I do not bless my food every time I eat. You do, don't you?
Did it again tonight?
Yes. You have to bless your food. I don't bless my food. But when I'm eating, I thank that food. And I tell that food, thank you for nourishing me. And I then say, how good this is for my body. You see? And then my body says, okay. And it does it for you. You see? This is the power of your mind. This is how you use your mind.
Let me share mine.
Yes.
It's a recalibration. I spread my hands a little bit and I say, I greet you with love. I give you permission to make me very healthy. I raise your level of vibration to mine, and anything of a lesser value, let it pass through without harm. I know you are love, and through me you go back to love. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very simple.
It's very simple. Life is simple, by the way, people. We just make it difficult all the time. And we think that these things do not work, and they absolutely work. Years ago, the ancients never ate anything without blessing it. They never killed anything without blessing it. Yes, sir. They had a sense of something is going on here. We're trading this for this for this, you know. It's all the life of God. It's all the life of God. And you must remember that in your thinking. So change your mind, people. Do it for yourself. Do it for yourself. Give yourself permission to be powerful. Give yourself permission to be powerful. I think it was Nelson Mandela, but Marianne Williamson gets the credit for it. And the saying is, we are not afraid. We are not afraid of being small people. We are scared to death of being great. We're scared to death of our power. And we don't show it. And that comes, I think, from our upbringing, our childhood. When we always heard, who do you think you are? You can't do that, you know. But you have to know that you can do it, people. And there's a different realm, we could call it, a different level, a different stratus going on there that we can go to. And what I'm referring to here is the idea. We get an idea of the germ theory. Well, that's going out the door anymore, the germ theory. And eventually the virus theory will go out the door. But we grab onto those things. When we can go directly to spirit. But we mess around down here with all this other stuff, and then we think, oh well, maybe God can do something. God can do everything. God can do everything. With God, all things are possible. So, I have nothing against the world out there and the different concepts and stuff they have, but you have to remember those are people's opinions. And then they all group together and become a construct of some sort, and we believe all that stuff. We believe all that stuff, and we do not have to believe all that stuff. So much more research is going on today than ever before, and it's in the realm of genetics. We have been told, and we bought into the idea that genes do everything. They don't. They don't. And we think that. I don't anymore, but I used to think. And we jumped on that bandwagon and said, oh, we finally figured the whole damn thing out. It's genes that's doing all of it. It's not true. We'll never figure out exactly what's going on. Look at your own body. Do you think you can figure out what's going on? The digestion, the circulation, all the things that are going on inside of you is absolutely mysterious, incredible. It's an absolute mystery. And it's a miracle. It's a miracle. And no one knows exactly what's going on in there. We pretend we know all this stuff. We don't know. I don't worry about it. I say to myself, my body knows what it's doing. Everything inside of me is working absolutely correctly. And I'm not going to interfere with it by throwing whatever, sodas and stuff in the way, you know, or cigarettes in the way of it, because my body is wonderful and it's working for me perfectly. It's working perfectly for me. And this is what we can all do, not just me. Please, people, I know very little, but I know enough to keep from being conditioned by the world. I will not allow the world to tell me these things. Because we learn one thing, and the next time we learn something else. That it has to keep advancing, because we're working towards the Godhead, towards God itself. We're getting closer and closer. So all the things that we know has to change. They have to change. You see? And we get stuck thinking, oh, now I know it all. Well, I wish that were true. I do not know it all. And I don't particularly mind that in the least. I know enough to keep myself going. I know enough to keep this body going. I know enough about my mind now to stop it. I gave a talk in Atlanta, Georgia years ago, and I said, I was at home having one of my 15-minute depressions. Well, of course, the audience thought that was the funniest thing they ever heard. What they didn't realize is I once had one that lasted 20 years. And we have all gone through that depression for years and years and years. It takes a while, but we get out of it. There are still people that have been depressed 20 years and more. They can't, you know, I hear people say, I'm depressed. I'm going to slap them. Because what are they going to do? They're going to go to the doctor and get some mind-numbing drug. Instead of working on it yourself. Here's when talk therapy and stuff comes in very handy. But you have to change your mind. You know, I don't remember when I was small, people having depression all the time. Now it seems to be the drug of the day, doesn't it? People are depressed.
Change what you eat.
Yes, exactly. Your food. You have to. It has a great deal to do with your mood, to do with your health, to do with the depression by changing. You cannot get up and have a soda and a donut in the morning and expect to run through the day without depression, because sugar is going to take you up and then drop you like a lead balloon. Doesn't it? Takes you right there. But by noticing what you're doing, just notice what you're doing. You know, everyone wants to become spiritual. I have no idea what that means exactly. You know, I have a glimpse of it, but I'm not all that concerned about being spiritual. It will come when it comes. But in the meantime, I'm helping it. By what? Trying to be a nice person. Trying to be kind to people. Trying to be kind to myself. Trying to be kind to myself. Can you imagine? Some people wake up every day and their mind does them in, beats them, but, oh, throws them across the room. I don't want that. I do not want that. When I was telling you the story about my mind in the morning, it used to also say, hit the deck! Hit the deck! That was my father. He was in the Navy. He was the one that would always be screaming, hit the deck, meaning to get up. Well, as soon as I figured out that's not my thought at all. That wasn't my thought, that's his thought. You see? So I left that one. I noticed what my mind was doing to me. I noticed what my mind was doing to me. And that's what life is all about. Noticing what your mind is doing, capturing that, and changing it to what you want to believe. Changing it to what you want to believe. And here again, we can believe anything we want. So why don't we believe the most powerful? Why don't we realize it? Yes, I'm powerful. Yes, I'm one with the universe. Yes, I'm one with God. Why doesn't our mind do that for us? Because we don't hear it. And we're trapped by, I'm going to say, tele-evangelists who they don't have a clue of what's going on. But they can certainly yell and scream and tell you how bad you are. You don't want that going on in your life. You don't want that going on in your life. You're always going to be the cause under your own experience. There's no other way out of it. And we should have learned that in first grade or before first grade. We should have learned all that stuff. But we observed what was going on around us, and they never taught us that. They never taught us that the mind had any power whatsoever. You know, if you could memorize, you were supposed to have a great mind. Memorizing stuff has nothing to do with being intelligent or a great mind. It has nothing to do with that whatsoever. I know. I can memorize almost anything. I'm not a genius. I like that my mind does that for me. I like that my mind remembers. You see, I can pull facts from everywhere. And that's good. But I have to see what my mind is doing to me. I have to become a witness to my own thinking. It's the only way. And why we don't teach that all the time, why we don't know that, absolutely beyond me. Absolutely beyond me. Do you remember Eleanor Roosevelt? Remember she said, no one can make you feel inferior without your consent. without your consent. So if somebody says to you, you're stupid, and your mind says, yeah, they're right, you better watch and become a witness and tell your mind that's not true. That's their opinion, not mine. My opinion of myself is that I am an intelligent, loving, caring, sharing human being. And I'm going to keep doing that till I absolutely believe it. I'm going to just keep saying it till I believe it. It's something to work on. It's something to do, you see. You have to put effort out there. You have to put effort out there. You must become a witness to your own thinking. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you. Well, because the gospel